Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus. It's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Hey! Hey! Good to see you. The Growing in Grace podcast with me, Mike. I've got Joel over there. And Joel, before we dive into this today, I did want to mention a few weeks ago, you had commented about how one of your career choices might be like a park ranger. Well, a lot of our audience might not know that you ended up parking cars at the Road Ranger truck stop. And I say all that to let our listeners know that when it comes to the desires of the heart, be sure to be as specific as possible when expressing these things to God, because he does have a sense of humor.
Road Ranger.
Okay. We were talking about the will of God, you know.
Yes. Yeah, people have to be
Yes, I mean,
specific.
Park Ranger, just like a lot of Bible verses, Park Ranger can mean a lot of different things to different people, including God.
Parking a ranger, yeah. So I've been in a lot of rangers because of that list of desires that I wrote down.
Yeah, but always looking to get refueled spiritually.
Looking back at that, though, I don't think I could have handled that. I mean, as an introvert, I like my alone time. I like that, but the idea that I had, it's just funny when you look back on things. The idea that I had of a park ranger was I would be out in some forest, way out in the wilderness, just all by myself, up in a tower with binoculars. Looking, yeah, I don't know. I had no clue. This is, you know, 30, 40 years ago, long time ago.
You're old.
And I just had no clue. But I think other introverts will at least understand the idea of liking a job where you don't have a whole bunch of other people around you.
Right.
That's what I liked about being a courier. I was a courier for many, many years. I was just off on my own. And then I got to see people for a few minutes at a time. Hey, how you doing? And then I was on my way again, and I liked that.
Well, Joel, I was watching a TV show recently. I can't tell you even what it was, probably, but there were two characters talking back and forth, and apparently one person did something that hurt the other person. And they said, "Can you ever forgive me?" And the reply from the other person was, "No, because there's nothing to be forgiven." And that really resonated with me as we talk about the gospel here and the, you know, everything that Jesus did to provide us with the complete package of not only eternal life, but everything good that comes with it, his righteousness, his love, of course, the key topic for today, his forgiveness and what that means for us. Now, most of us who have been exposed to any kind of Bible teaching or church activity, we've been told about forgiveness in a whole bunch of different contexts. And I think there are still many people today, probably a lot listening now, who go through life wondering, in this moment, am I really clean? Am I really forgiven? Is my slate wiped out? Am I okay? What do I have to do? Do I have to, you know, seek that forgiveness again and then do the same thing next hour or tomorrow or the next week? How do I know that I'm forgiven? And what is it about Jesus? Here's a question I'll pose. What is it about Jesus as it relates to forgiveness? What is it about him that is different than what we read in the Old Testament pages, and how the Jewish people under that first covenant, how they attained or received a type of forgiveness from God. So let's open up the spigots.
Let's start gushing on forgiveness. Yeah. Well, I know a lot of people do struggle with that. It used to be something I struggled with a lot, just because people ask the question, what if I keep doing the same thing or things over and over and over again? You know, how can God forgive me for that? Am I really forgiven? Maybe just a whole bunch of different things in your life that you struggle with or that you know you shouldn't do, But you keep doing it, and maybe you want to stop, but have a hard time with it, or whatever. Just, you know, we base our relationship with God and whether we're forgiven or not upon what we do. When, you know, the issue of forgiveness wasn't settled through anything that we did. That's the awesome thing about what God has done in this new covenant with Christ, with sending Jesus, and with Jesus dying on the cross. The shedding of blood was required for the forgiveness of sins. That's in Hebrews 9:22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Notice that it doesn't say, without you stopping doing what you do, there's no forgiveness. No. Of course, we want to stop doing the things that we do if we know they're not right, but that's not how we get forgiven. And, you know, there's grace. We look to God's grace. We look to His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, and we look to Him in our daily living. But as far as forgiveness goes, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Again, that's Hebrews 9:22. There was this covenant previously where the forgiveness of sins was dependent upon the shedding of the blood of animals. But Cap, you and I were talking earlier, before we started here, about how that covenant and that way of doing things wasn't really something that God desired. He said that. You can read that in Hebrews. I didn't desire that. The offerings that were, the sacrifices that were offered according to the law, that's not what God wanted. But instead, and even with those, even with those sacrifices, all that it provided was a reminder of sins. That's Hebrews 10:3. And it could never take away sins, Hebrews 10:11. So those old sacrifices never could do a thing. But even if you think about it, even under that covenant, it was all dependent upon not the people changing, but it was dependent upon the sacrifices of animals. And then their sins were covered, you know, just temporarily covered until the next time. But in Christ, what we have is something so far greater. It was the one-time shedding of the blood. Instead of Jesus coming and shedding His blood over and over and over again, each, you know, whether yearly or weekly or daily or whatever, in, you know, like the old covenant offerings, this blood, the blood of Jesus, was shed one time. He offered one sacrifice for sins for all time. So this forgiveness of all of your sins, whoever's listening and whoever's not listening too, the forgiveness for all of the sins that would ever be committed, all the sins of all mankind forever and ever, was provided, the forgiveness was provided by one offering, and that happened 2,000 years ago. So your sins were actually forgiven before you even committed them, before you were even born. let me just put it this way. The forgiveness of your sins is settled. It's not something that you can earn by stopping what you do. Yeah, you want to stop the things that you're doing, but you don't receive any more forgiveness. You're already fully forgiven for everything. It never has anything to do with anything that you do.
And therein lies the difference between that old covenant and this new one that God established. You know, you were talking about Hebrews 10. God said right there, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which were offered according to the law. Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. Focused on Jesus here. And He takes away the first that He may establish the second, Hebrews 10:9. By that will we have been sanctified, not just saved, not just forgiven, but sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once, period, for, period, all, period. Mm-hmm. It's completed. And then the writer of Hebrews goes on to explain this difference between that old way and the sacrifice of Christ, the new way, the new covenant being established forever. And he says this in verse 11, every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he offered one, not many, but one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God from that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. And then get this now, in this ministry of the Spirit within the new covenant, Hebrews 10:15, the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us or bears witness with us after he said before, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days. I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds, and I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. You see that the offerings stopped once the forgiveness was made complete, once the remission was fulfilled. Then the offering stopped. Jesus was only sacrificed once for all time. for the sins, as you said, Joel, for the sins that have ever been committed from the beginning until now and beyond. It's a past, present, and future thing, whereas many of us were told and taught, perhaps, that you're forgiven up to this moment if you keep asking God for forgiveness. But there's no blood with that. You see, and so, and something else you said, Joel, I found kind of interesting is that even under the old way, before Jesus, it wasn't about trying to get their act together with what they did by becoming great doers of the word or law keepers or, you know, supernatural moral agents of some kind. It was still based their forgiveness, and it was a temporary forgiveness. It was a covering. It did not take away sins, but it was the best they had at that time under that covenant. And that was the blood of animals, the sacrifices that would allow for that to take place until the next sacrifice. But it wasn't based on what they were trying to do. And God knew that. That's why he set it up the way that he did, because under that law, under that covenant, it would result in the increase of sin, not the decrease of sin. And so they needed some sort of an outlet to continue on with some sort of forgiveness from God. The difference, again, is that with the Lamb of God, Jesus, he was sacrificed once. He paid the price once. He took away a system that God did not desire, which is interesting, isn't it? This law system of sacrifices. God did not desire that. And so we have Jesus who came to sacrifice and be the end of all sacrifices. So stop and think about it, though, for a minute, because most of us, and I don't even want to get into it on this program, because we've done so many on 1 John 1:9 of a single Bible verse that is constantly taken out of context, telling church people, telling believers in Jesus, they need to keep going and repeatedly asking forgiveness from God, which, by the way, is not possible. It wasn't possible under the first covenant. It certainly isn't possible under the second covenant, and it's not required because Jesus finished the job when it came to forgiveness. So when we go back to that TV show I was talking about, Joel, where somebody says, can you ever forgive me? And they said, no, there's nothing to be forgiven. In other words, they're saying, I've already forgiven you. And that's how it is in Christ. I mean, God basically has taken himself out of the forgiveness business because of what was done through Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, the slate has been wiped clean, and that didn't happen because of anything that we did. We can't earn forgiveness from God. There's nothing that we can do to get him to forgive us because he's already done it. He's already done it through the cross of Jesus Christ. There is nothing to be forgiven because that forgiveness, again, was taken care of once, one time, one sacrifice for all sins for all time by Jesus Christ. And, you know, if we have to do something to earn forgiveness, then that's really a payment that we're making. It's not God forgiving us. It's us making a payment for our sins. And we didn't do that. There's no way that we could have done that. Jesus did it. You know, forgiveness is when you have a debt that you have to pay, basically, you've sinned or you've done something, and so there's a debt that you have to pay. Forgiveness is when that debt is removed. It's taken away. It's not because you paid it. It was removed freely, and that's what Jesus did on the cross. The slate was wiped clean forever for each and every one of us. You were talking about Hebrews 10, 17 and 18. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Like you said, there's no longer an offering because the one offering took care of it all. One offering. So there's no longer, there are no more sacrifices that will ever happen for sins because there has already been remission. Other versions say forgiveness. Now, where there is forgiveness of these, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. That's really the same thing. He continues on just a few verses later in a big scary verse that we've also talked about before, Hebrews 10:26. It's scary for a lot of people because it's not looked at in context, but if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. It's the same thing that he's talking about in verse 18. The knowledge of the truth is that the blood of Jesus Christ is what he's been talking about here. The one sacrifice of Christ took away all of our sins. So there is no other sacrifice for sins. What these people were doing, these Hebrew people who had been under those animal sacrifices for centuries, they were tempted to go back or to continue with those sacrifices. So if they have received the knowledge of the truth that Jesus Christ and his sacrifice took away all sins, but they go back to the blood of bulls and goats or continue on with the blood of animals, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. There is no other sacrifice. You have to go with the sacrifice of Jesus, which is the one that actually did take away sins, or you're going back to the blood of animals, which only provided a reminder of sins and which couldn't take away sins. And so that's really what that whole passage is about. It's about the one sacrifice and whether the people are going to accept it or reject it. So forgiveness, it's a big issue for a lot of people, I know. And maybe I can link to some of the 1 John 1:9 talks that we've done. And so if people want to hear more about that, they can check those out. I think the bottom line is that God's forgiveness of us isn't on the basis of anything that we do. It's not on the basis of us asking for it. Our forgiveness is based upon the one sacrifice. And that sacrifice occurred, believe it or not, before anyone even asked for it. We didn't ask for it. All the forgiveness of sins that was ever needed was provided for us through the cross one time, and it was 2,000 years ago.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.